plate a potential nugget.
And going back to one of the things you said, Chris, 2001, people were already talking about its potential. Can you give us a sense of what people saw at that stage for them to say he'd be a special player?
Well, to be honest, I mean, the potential chatter began well before that. It began in the mid-1990s in European tennis circles. You talked to Regis Brunet, who was his first agent with IMG, watching him play in a junior tournament in Florida when I think he was 13 or 14 years old and literally sprinting to the payphone, which tells you how old this story is and how long Roger's been around in the game. He ran to a payphone in Florida and called his contact to get a hold of Roger's parents back in Switzerland because he was so excited by what he saw. And what he saw was somebody with just fluid movement, amazing shot-making potential, phenomenal hand-eye coordination, just an overall sort of kinetic chain to his tennis that was exceptional. And if you've watched enough tennis, that comes jumping off the court at you as you watched him play. And you can also see the athleticism and the speed and the quickness that he had. And as he developed, the real question was about his attitude and his emotional outbursts and behavior and self-criticism and whether that would hold him back, because it definitely held him back from achieving that full potential in his teens and very, very early 20s. But then again, how many of us in our teens really are the best version of ourselves? Probably not too many.
While this is the 100th conversation at the podcast, I should point out to you that the very first conversation in the podcast was also about tennis. The guest at that time was Vijay Amritraj, the legendary Indian tennis player. I remember meeting him at the departure terminal at Mumbai Airport and walking up to him to request a conversation when this podcast was just an idea in my head. I remember it was a Monday morning. I was going to Chennai and he was headed to Bangalore. I still remember the look he gave me when I asked him if I could interview him for a podcast. I could see two questions in his eyes. One, who are you? And two, what the hell is a podcast? You know, 6-7 years back, podcasting was not quite a thing in those days. I was lucky that he was able to get comfortable with my intent in a couple of minutes. And before boarding, he told me that he was staying at the Leela in Bangalore for a week and he'd have time on Thursday. 3 days later, I just dropped everything else, booked my flight to meet him and record that conversation. When I look back, really, really grateful to see how far this podcast has come from that long shot a few years back with Vijay. While it's hard not to get impressed when you see precocious talent in front of you, like what Chris says about Roger's fluidity on court, I think it's useful to keep in mind that celebrating precocity sometimes can be tricky. Vijay gives a useful counterpoint that brings in the dimension of effort and commitment.
In certain cases, it's fairly clear that you can tell, especially when the kid is anywhere from 8, 9, 10 up. You could possibly, in certain cases, it's clear. But that doesn't mean he's going to make it or she's going to make it. That's where the rub comes. Mm-hmm. Just because on a scale of 1 to 10, your talent quotient is a 9, doesn't mean you're going to make it. And the other side of the coin is, if talent quotient was a 1, that doesn't mean you're not going to make it. The best examples of those are the fact that hard work will overcome lack of talent any day of the week and twice on Sunday. But lack of work is not going to help an extremely talented guy make it to the top in the similar fashion. So hard work is a necessity, whether you like it or not. There's no shortcut to greatness. But at the end of the day, for some people, it comes a little easier, and some people, it takes longer. With John McEnroe, what he could do in 30 minutes took Ivan Lendl 1 week to do. Mm. But they both did it, and they both became two of the greatest players the game has seen over my lifetime, both world's number one. So I think it can be overcome. So just because you look at a child and he or she is not able to do A, B, and C, and of course, mine was a perfect example as I was growing up, because on a scale of 1 to 10, I was probably a minus 1. And so you can't say, as all the pundits did at the time, oh, don't waste time, effort, and money on this child because he's not going to be good at anything. But then, you know, you can, you know, overcome most of these obstacles if there is that will and that belief and the people to be able to help you get there. So I think those things are probably the ones to be looking at, as opposed to saying, oh, he or she can or cannot make it.
I guess one of the most common examples that gets quoted in this context is Sachin Tendulkar versus Vinod Kambli. Several people say that in terms of intrinsic potential, when they were school kids, Kambli was possibly more gifted than Sachin. In that legendary match in 1988, when they played for Shardashram Vidya Mandir, they struck a partnership of 664, and in that match, Sachin scored 326 not out, and Kambli scored 349 not out. We now know how their journeys played out.